At the time when I stood in the churchyard reading the family tombstones, I had just enough learning to be able to spell them out. Biddy was Mr. Wopsle's great-aunt's granddaughter. I confess myself quite unequal to the working out of the problem, what relation she was to Mr. Wopsle. She was an orphan, like myself. Like me, too, had been brought up by hand. It was by the help of Biddy that I struggled through the alphabet as if it had been a bramble bush, getting considerably worried and scratched by every letter. However, compared with mine, Joe's education, like steam, was yet in its infancy. Pursuing the subject, one evening in the kitchen, I inquired, "Didn't you ever go to school, Joe, when you were as little as me?"
"No, Pip."
"Why didn't you ever go to school, Joe, when you were as little as me?"
"Well, Pip,"
said Joe, taking up the poker and settling himself to his usual occupation when he was thoughtful of slowly raking the fire between the lower bars.
"I'll tell you. My father, Pip, he were given to drink, and when he were overtook with drink, he hammered away at my mother most unmerciful. It were almost the only hammering he did, indeed, excepting at myself. Consequence, my father didn't make objections to my going to work instead of learning. So I went to work at my present calling, which were his too, if he would have followed it, and I worked tolerable hard, I assure you, Pip. In time, I were able to keep him, and I kept him till he went off in a purple leptic fit. My mother weren't long of following, poor soul, and her share of peace come round at last."
Here Joe's blue eyes turned a little watery.
"It were but lonesome then, living here alone, and I got acquainted with your sister. When I got acquainted with your sister, it were the talk how she was bringing you up by hand. Very kind of her too, all the folks said, and I said, along with all the folks. As to you, when I offered to your sister to keep company and to be asked in church at such times as she was willing and ready to come to the forge, I said to her, 'And bring the poor little child. God bless the poor little child,' I said to your sister. 'There's room for him at the forge.'"
I broke out crying and hugged Joe round the neck, who dropped the poker to hug me and to say,
"Ever the best of friends, ain't us, Pip? Don't cry, old chap."
Mrs. Joe made occasional trips with Uncle Pumblechook on market days to assist him in buying such household stuffs and goods as required a woman's judgment, Uncle Pumblechook being a bachelor. It happened that my sister returned from one of these trips in a state of unusual excitement.
"Now," said Mrs. Joe, "if this boy ain't grateful this night, he never will be."
I looked as grateful as any boy possibly could, who was wholly uninformed why he ought to assume that expression.
"It's only to be hoped that he won't be pumped."
By this my sister meant pampered.
"But I have my fears."
"She ain't in that line, mum," said Mr. Pumblechook. "She knows better."
"She?" I looked at Joe, making the motion with my lips and eyebrows. "She?" Joe looked at me, making the motion with his lips and eyebrows. "She?" My sister caught him in the act and said in her snappish way,
"Well, what are you staring at? Is the house afire?"
"Which some individual mentioned. She."
"And she is a she, I suppose, unless you call Miss Havisham a he?"
"Miss Havisham, uptown."
"Is there any Miss Havisham downtown? She wants this boy to go and play there."
I had heard of Miss Havisham uptown. Everybody for miles around had heard of Miss Havisham uptown as an immensely rich and grim lady who lived in a large and dismal house barricaded against robbers and who led a life of seclusion.
"Well, to be sure. I wonder how she come to know Pip."
"Noodle. Who said she knew him?"
"Which some individual mentioned that she wanted him to go and play there."
"And couldn't she ask Uncle Pumblechook if he knew of a boy to go and play there? Isn't it just barely possible that Uncle Pumblechook may be a tenant of hers, and that he may sometimes go there to pay his rent? And couldn't Uncle Pumblechook, being always considerate and thoughtful for us, then mention this boy?"
"Good!" cried Uncle Pumblechook. "Well put. Prettily pointed. Good indeed. Now, Joseph, you know the case."
Uncle Pumblechook conducted me to Miss Havisham's the next morning.